Welcome to For the Health of It, starring Dr. Jennifer Kretzinger, wellness chiropractor. Did you know she was once tackled by a tiger and won by sweet-talking her way out of it? Jessica Labby is our co-host. I'm pegging her as the most creative one of the bunch. Mr. Mike Clark, our producer, is in the house. He looks like his wife dressed him today. Great job, Elizabeth. You put these three hooligans together and something magic happens. They will inspire you to eat, move, sleep, and live better. You're listening to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it.
Elizabeth does have excellent taste.
Yeah, Mike, I love your tie. Did she pick that out too?
Yes, she did.
Yeah. You would never wear a tie. I know,
especially doing this.
We'll let the listeners think what they may. Do you guys want to hear my personal mantra?
We'd love to.
I think I know what it is.
I bet you do. Every day and every way, I'm getting better, better, and better. Everything is coming to me easily and effortlessly.
Not only is that her personal mantra, but she had it painted on the bathroom wall in our office.
Mm-hmm. It's good. That's by Shatki Gawain in the book Creative Visualization. And that mantra actually is a big part of a story, a true story I'm going to tell you. I went to this amazing personal development camp for chiropractors. And part of this experience was ropes courses. So have you ever done that? You're belayed in. You're strapped in, attached to a person that's standing on the ground. And in this case, we climbed a rock wall. And there was different choices with difficulty. Mm-hmm. And I chose, you know, like the medium one. And I did it. I got to the top, but I was very frustrated with myself by how hard it felt. I was almost angry. It was physically hard. It was mentally hard.
Well, how much rock climbing do you do?
Well,
I mean,
that's
it's not used to doing it, you know?
Well, 7 years later, this was, it would have been about 2.5 years ago. I had the opportunity to go back to the same personal development camp, and I knew that I would be doing the same exercise, and I had my mind prepared. I was completely ready. I was going to be easy for me. I was so excited. Right before it's my turn, my mentor and coach says to me, "Oh, no, 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 you're going to do this part of the wall," which is significantly harder than the one I was mentally prepared to do. And my first thought was, no, I can't do that. I panicked, absolutely panicked. And then he said, well, no, you are. And like any good mentor or coach, they're going to push you. So what I did was I had to get my thoughts together. And finally, it's my turn. And I say to the trainer that was helping people, I said, what's the trick on this one? And he said, oh, about 2/3 up on the right. Right there is where people get stuck. But what you have to do is you have to just jump from one foot to the other and switch feet, and then you can get to the top.
And by the way, don't fall.
Right. At least you're on belay. So I thought to myself, okay, I have the tools. And I start to climb. And in an instant, my brain said, oh, I forgot. Everything is easy and effortless for me. My mantra. And I sailed to the top of that wall in record time. People were cheering. And for days, I had people say, how could you make that look so easy? And I had to laugh to myself because even though it wasn't necessarily easy and I was scared to death.
You set your mind to it.
It was a choice. And if that's ever happened to you, something can feel hard. And as soon as your brain just can shift a little bit, it can feel easy again, whether it's a physical thing you're having to do or a mental or emotional thing. You hear this sometimes with people giving birth. You know, they just think they absolutely can't do it. And then the doctor will say, well, if you can't get this baby out in the next few minutes, we're going to go have a C-section. And boom, that baby's pushed out in moments.
Your mind's incredibly powerful. It really is.
As soon as you decide you want something or you can change it where there's something positive, wow, I can have that baby in my arms. Or I want to go away from something that I don't want. I don't want the C-section as an example.
Right.
There's so many examples of how as soon as you can decide you want something or something can start to feel easy because of the way you're perceiving it, then you can do it.
I remember actually when I was going to move back to New Hampshire, and I wasn't going to move back until I found a job. So I was looking for jobs and I could not find the perfect job. And so it became very difficult, spending hours on the computer every single night. And so I finally just gave up And then a moment came along where I said, I'm just going to move. I don't have a job, but I'm just going to move. And then as soon as I did, the next day I got an email about a job. And then a week later, I had the job.
And that was our office.
That's right.
You know, and what the example there is that you made it less complicated. When you finally decide, well, it's just going to be this.
Right, you let it happen.
Yeah, you let go of the control, or you stop making it so heavy, it can start to feel easy again. And speaking of heavy, this is something that's been occupying my mind a lot. I've started to really work hard to train myself. If I'm not liking the way I'm thinking of a situation, or I'm in a moment where I don't even like the way I'm acting, say towards my husband or even towards the children, I've been trying to remember to ask myself, what would it feel like right now if I could look at this differently? Instead of thinking of the moment as hard, what would it be like if I just decided this moment was easy? Or what would it be like if I decided I didn't have to be upset about this situation, or I didn't have to be frustrated with this person? How would it be different? And then allow myself to change my pattern. Sometimes we're so locked in to the way we think we should respond, or the way we normally would respond. We normally would always get angry if this person did this. And what would happen if we allowed ourselves to just not be angry?
That reminds me of something that you said in a huddle a few years ago at our office. When you stop and you think about coming from a place of love before you speak, the outcome is so much different.
This is all very heady stuff.
Well, I'm going to get a tiny bit more heady, and then we'll go to a break. There's a book that I'm reading right now. It's called Frequency. And Mike, I actually gave this book to your wife to read as well.
Yeah.
It's by an author named Penny Pierce. And she has a chart called The Scales of Everyday Vibrations. And she just talks about how emotions and thought can be a low frequency vibration, which is basically rooted in fear, or a high frequency vibration, which is rooted in love. And going in order, she starts at the bottom. The lowest frequency is emotions of depression and apathy and thoughts of suicide. And then it goes up to guilt, shame, psychosis, neurosis. A little higher, it would be hate, rage, refusal, overwhelm.
Keep going.
It gets better.
Oh, good.
And then it goes, you know, a little higher would be just, you know, fear, panic, obsession, then doubt, insecurity, control games, then frustration, logic and proof, then disappointment, projection and blame, contentment, trust, distraction, absence, sincerity, boredom, impatience, pleasure, receptivity, openness, desire, motivation, discovery, exploration, enthusiasm, fluid creativity, joy, gratitude, inspiration, insight, generosity, direct knowing, and then ultimately love, empathy, wisdom, and oneness. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
And it's cool to look at the chart and think, where do I tend to live, and how could I go
I think
a
we all
higher?
Visit most of those frequencies, though, not some of them. But
well, and the key is, where is kind of my set point?
Right.
You know, we will have the highs and lows, but yeah, where do I live? Do I just kind of live in apathy, or do I tend to be in disappointment a lot, or do I really tend to have enthusiasm and fluid creativity, and how can I move up a notch?
And the great thing is, it's a choice.
That's right. It's a choice. And we're going to talk more about how do you make the right choice, and how do you let it affect the words that you use. We'll get right to that right after break.
You're listening to some raw talk about full potential living, for the health of it. Your host is Dr. Jennifer Kretzinger, wellness chiropractor at Spinal Corrective Center in Amherst, New Hampshire. For more information about Dr. Jennifer or this podcast, check out spinalcorrectivecenter.com. If you would like to schedule a health checkup with Dr. Jennifer, call 603-673-5600 and mention this podcast to receive a special offer. That's 603-673-5600. To find a wellness chiropractor in your area, go to chiropractic.org/doctorfinder. Now, back to some raw talk about full potential living, for the health of it.
We're talking about healthy thoughts and how it's really related to your own perception. Here's an example. Airplane rides for some people are like going to a carnival. It's so exciting and it's so fun. And for others,
torture.
It's like getting your teeth extracted without Novocaine. Absolute fear. But yet it's the exact same potential experience and two completely opposite emotions attached to it. You know, the uncomfortable feelings we get that we call stress are really our own decision. You know, we get to decide if buying a home is going to be stressful or having a baby is going to be stressful.
It's all in your mind.
Yeah. And, you know, I have babies. I can tell you it's not always simple. Plans get changed and sometimes you completely can feel stressed out if you choose to. But, you know, it's those moments that we have a choice in how we act. We may not always be able to control, you know, our blood pumping and our anxiety that's welling up inside of us. But what we do with these sensations is our choice. You know, we can yell and scream. We can fall into a deep depression. We can get frustrated. We can completely lose focus.
You can also talk yourself down, though.
Yeah, you can stop
right.
and breathe. You can choose to say your words calmly. You can decide if what is happening is really that important in the grand scheme of things. And again, this isn't easy, but it's very important to always remember that your actions and reactions are a choice that gives you ownership.
It's the same with things you can't control. If you realize it's a growth phase for something even bigger and better, like a caterpillar in a cocoon, then you know something great is about to happen and you got to get through that uncomfortable period.
And that's that right there is faith, not just in yourself, but a higher purpose, a higher reasoning.
Right.
And if we don't recognize that we have a choice, or we think things like, oh, the devil made me do it, or I had no choice but to yell, I couldn't help myself.
Those are my excuses.
I just lost control. You know, nobody controls you but you.
It's true.
There's that book, A Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. He's a Nazi concentration camp survivor, and he brings home the point that he lost absolute control of his environment, of his body, of many of the choices he no longer had. But the one thing they could not control was his thoughts. And it was his own positive control of his thoughts that kept him alive and to go on and be freed and have a very productive, loving life. And that's the most remarkable thing about life is that you control your thoughts and the choice over your actions. You know, if you find yourself frequently just making excuses for yourself, then you have to gather more responsibility. Watching your language, even like the next couple of days, just watch what your language and make an effort to stop making excuses. You know, like anything, it seems hard, but it can get easy. But it's amazing the excuses we put on ourselves. You know, really, if something feels hard, one thing that helps me is saying, well, what's the worst thing that could happen? And for a moment,
rationalize it.
Yeah, let my body go, or my mind go to the worst thing that could happen
right. And
realize, okay, well, I would be fine. The world would not end. And then
usually.
Set it aside. Usually. Here's the other angle. Ask yourself, what's the conclusion that would best serve me? So let's say, for example, you have a health problem and you have a test done. And you're waiting for it to come back, and you're just getting worked up and worked up and worked up. Well, ask yourself, what's the conclusion that would best serve me? And then imagine hearing the words coming from the doctor. Imagine seeing your body functioning the way you want it to function, and put yourself emotionally in that positive state. Regardless of what's going to happen, at least you can control what you're thinking. Because
right.
if you have
it's not,
those,
it's not going to change the outcome, but
it may.
That's true.
We don't know that.
Yeah.
It could. You know, as Penny Pierce talks about, these vibrations that are, thoughts create vibrations. It's been proven. Remember the water studies?
Mm-hmm.
What was the man's name?
Is it Emoto?
Masaru Emoto. And he proved, Mike, that when you subjected water to thoughts, it changed the consistency of the crystals formed in the frozen water. And thoughts like love that were placed on, say, a bottle of water made these beautiful crystals.
Really?
Yeah, and words strong negative words created more randomness.
So maybe you can change the outcome then.
Maybe. Hmm. Yeah, quantum mechanics is studying that right now, that whole branch of science, and it's quite amazing. So your words are really a reflection of your thoughts. So I want to talk about the power of the pause Because oftentimes when you say things later you wish you wouldn't have said, it's because you didn't just take a pause.
We should all do that more.
Yes. And one thing I've had to learn is if I just don't quite know what to say, just allow myself to say, I have to think about that. I'll let you know. Because then I'm going to have the right thing to say.
Right.
I'm not going to regret my words. Here are some examples. Instead of saying, you should, say, I want. So, for example, you should help around the house more. You could say, I want more help around the house. Instead of saying, I can't, or I don't have, say, I choose. So instead of, I can't afford a new car, I choose to spend my money on more imminent needs right now. I need money. I wish for more abundance. Do you see that has a higher frequency to it? Using the words like I need and feeling needy, instead of that, just say I wish.
Yeah, that's the big difference there.
Big difference.
Yeah.
What about this one? You hurt my feelings. It's better to say, I let my feelings get hurt. See the difference there? As a general rule, you always should use you if you're complimenting somebody, but use I if you're criticizing someone. As soon as you need to criticize someone and you use the word you, they just get defensive.
Yeah.
So instead of saying, you never do this, you never do this, you can say, well, I feel hurt. I feel this is what I need or what I wish for. Makes a huge difference in how people perceive you and how you feel about what you're saying.
Especially when you're married.
Yes. Isn't it interesting that it's so common, I hear this from people, that it's the people you're surrounded with the most that you can get so lax with in your choice of words.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you can really, the people you love the most, you can treat the worst.
And you shouldn't. Those are the ones you should treat the best.
That's right.
That's right. And your thoughts are really just going to be the basis of what your words come from. And the other thing to consider is when you don't like someone's words, to know that it's coming from their thoughts and it's likely not even about you. It's about them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Lastly, which I think is obvious when you want to have healthy thoughts, is to be in a state of gratitude. If you're trying to get your thoughts around love, if you remember that continuum, one of the highest levels closest to love was gratitude.
Yep.
Try to stay up there.
And if you can be thankful, if you're feeling angry and you say to yourself, well, what's really good about my situation right now? You can probably find a silver lining. Say you hurt yourself, you break your ankle and you have to be home and you're missing out on work and you're losing money and oh, this is awful and you're so focused on that. And if you had to say, well, what am I grateful for? You have the free time to do some of the things maybe you really wish you could do.
Right.
And lastly, changing patterns requires feeling. So with gratitude, if you want to change your patterns, you want to feel different. And putting yourself in gratitude is the fastest way to feel good.
So you know what I do to start my day is I have a friend and we'll each text each other something that we want for that day.
I haven't got a text yet.
I am going to find the perfect pair of shoes today. Or I am going to have a very productive day.
Something very positive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do agree that your thoughts the very beginning of the day are, if you want to take an action step, that's what to focus on. What is your very first thought of the day? And train yourself to have a first thought. I've been doing this for 2 years. The very first thing I think every day is, it's going to be a great day.
Well, I'll have to do that more. I'm a little rough out of the gate in the morning, let me tell you.
Okay, so that's going to be your homework, Mike.
Okay.
Is
I love homework.
Change your first thought of the day to something that
positive.
Serves you.
All right.
Something positive. Okay. So listeners, put some thought into where your vibration is right now and how can you raise it? If you don't know how, think about what you appreciate and what you love.
Or maybe pick a mantra like you.
Or you can borrow mine.
Yeah.
Everything is easy and effortless.
Let's all borrow it.
Be well, everybody.
You've been listening to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it. For more information, go to spinalcorrectivecenter.com or call Dr. Jennifer at 603-673-5600. That's spinalcorrectivecenter.com or call 603-673-5600.